Hello everyone. So welcome back to Central Potential. And today I'd like to talk about desire. Discrepancies in desire is something that I'm hearing about a lot lately. Lots of couples talking about either not having sex at all or having sex rarely, and the higher sex drive person really being quite bothered about this, wondering what's going on, feeling distressed, is there something wrong with them, is their partner no longer attracted, and a whole range of other emotions that are coming up for them. Where sometimes the lower desire partner is feeling quite concerned about it as well and not understanding why their desire level has changed. But for others, they're very comfortable with their level of desire, whether that's dropped back to once a week, once every couple of weeks, or even once every couple of months. For some people, this is where they feel really comfortable. So what do we do about this? You know, this is a problem that can really cause rifts in relationships and can cause people to really feel that their partner doesn't love them anymore or isn't attracted to them anymore. And this can be quite a difficult place to be. One of the first things to do is to talk about it, to have an open conversation, letting your partner know that you've noticed the difference and you're wondering what's going on. And there can be a whole range of different reasons why we have discrepancies in our libidos. The longer a relationship exists, the honeymoon stage starts to drop away. And this can happen anywhere from, 3 to 6 months up to 12 to 24 months in some cases. Life gets in the way, we get busy, a whole range of other things start to take a priority over our sexual relationship. So this can be quite natural, particularly in long-term relationships. It's not unusual to see a change in desire levels just naturally with everyone in that relationship after a couple of years into it. The initial lust and limerence stage has settled. The deep and lasting love has developed. And sometimes along with that growing intimacy and emotional connection, there can actually be a bit of a drop in the lust and the physical connection that we may feel with our partner. This is totally natural, but where the issues occur is where one person's desire drops considerably and the other person feels that their needs are not being met, not just physically but also emotionally. And this can be a very, very difficult time for everybody involved. So apart from talking about it and bringing up the fact and raising it and the fact that you are feeling a particular way because you are having less sex in your relationship, there are a whole other range of other things to take into consideration. There's a lot of information out there around how a desire should be spontaneous and we should just be leaping into bed at the moment that we feel desire. And it doesn't actually work like that for most people. Only 25% of women and 50% of men have spontaneous desire. The rest have what we call responsive desire. So we're looking at the majority of people actually having responsive desire. So what that means is that they need something to respond to. Now, it could be a visual stimuli. So for some people, that is why they read or watch porn. It could be an auditory stimuli. So reading some erotic literature could actually get someone going. Sometimes it's seeing their partner naked or in an erotic way that can actually bring on desire. But for other people, it might be an emotional connection. So there are people that do not have a sexual response until they are emotionally connected to someone. Or they might not, they need their brain turning on. Our brain is the biggest sex organ in our body. And there might be something that needs to be switched on in their brain to actually get the body to follow. So it is all of those things that we do in those early days, all of those lovely things that we do for each other. It's the romance. It's the taking time with foreplay. It's the suggestions of maybe doing something later. What this does is it builds a sense of anticipation. So people will often talk about in the beginning of their relationship that it was all very spontaneous. But if we think about it, we often knew when we were going to be seeing our partner. So there was that opportunity for our desire to build over a period of time. And yes, when we first saw them, it might have been ripping clothes off and feel that it was quite spontaneous. But there had been a build-up in those days or even weeks that we have not seen that particular person. So there is that constant building of desire over a period of time. It's also good to remember that this is a stage where there is lust and there is limerence, which is the emotion that feels like love, that keeps us coming back to have more of our emotional needs met, that we get to know this individual and we start to grow deeper feelings for them as intimacy develops over time. It's also important to remember that there are several different models of arousal cycles. So historically, we've gone with the Johnson & Johnson cycle, Masters & Johnson cycle of arousal, desire, and plateau. But there are so many other things that come into play. So there is a much newer model called the Besson model, which takes into account a whole range of other things, and that sometimes people actually need to physically engage in something before that arousal and desire starts to happen. That they may need to actually be physically aroused before the desire for sex starts to kick in. Whereas for other people, the desire is there and then the arousal follows. So there are several different models, and people can follow anyone quite naturally for them. The other thing to consider is that there are a whole range of things that might push the accelerator and light that flame of our passion, and there are a whole range of other factors that might actually put on the brakes or douse that flame. And these can be quite different things for different people. So each person that is part of that relationship might have different things that push their accelerator or light their flame, and they might also have different things that put on the brakes or douse that flame as well. So for one partner, just looking at their partner might actually ignite that flame of desire. But thinking about bills and the stress that they've got at work might be one of those breaks for them. Another partner might need a lot more to get that flame going. They might need many things to actually start to flame that. That fire might need to start with suggestions early in the day about what you might do together. It might mean little notes and messages throughout the day. It may mean setting up a scene that is romantic and seductive. And these might be the things that actually fan that flame for that individual. And then the things that might put on their brakes could be concerns about health, that they may have concerns about their body image. How is my partner going to see if they see me? I've put on so much weight. My body looks different. I've just had a baby. A whole range of things can then actually put on the brakes. So what goes on between our ears is very, very important to how we feel about sex and how sexual we actually are going to feel in any particular moment. One of the things that I talk to people about when they are having issues around sex and different levels of desire is to go back and think about the things that they did together early in the relationship. What were the things that got that flame into a roaring fire? Having fun, doing things together, maybe taking the pressure off to be sexual and just enjoying being in each other's company. When people are first together in a relationship, there are often lots of fun and pleasurable things that they do together. There's conversations and learning about each other. There's new and exciting things to learn. I love the work of Esther Perel, where she talks about the difference between intimacy and mystery, and that desire needs mystery. There are things to learn. There are new and exciting things that we find out about our partner, and that helps build desire. And that sometimes with the growth of intimacy and the knowing of everything about our partner and the day-to-day struggles of life, that can dampen our desire as well. So going back and having a chat with each other, thinking about the things that you used to do, are some of those things activities that you would like to enjoy today? Can you get back to doing something similar? Are there some new and exciting things that you would like to do together? Consider all of the things that are priorities in your life, and are you actually putting your relationship first as a priority? Are you actually looking at the things in your relationship that are important to you? And are you actually speaking the same language? Love languages are really important in relationships. Quite often we can be saying the same things to each other, but we're saying them in different ways. So chatting about what your love languages are, what are the things that make your partner's face light up and their eyes sparkle? Are they into touch? Maybe a massage is what they require to get that flame going. Is it words? So is it the little text messages? Is it the things that you say to them? Is that what makes their eyes sparkle? Perhaps it's acts of service. So you will find that there are many women that will say there is nothing sexier than a man helping them out around the house. It takes that weight off them. It shows that you acknowledge that there are things that they are doing and ways that you can help out. So acts of service could be making a cup of tea, getting them a glass of wine, running a bubble bath, a whole range of different things that show that you are considerate of that individual and you're doing some things for them that they will enjoy. Quality time is also really, really important for people as an act of love and showing that you're making a priority for them. So it's not just about spending time together, but it's about focusing on each other in that time that you spend together. It's really important for some people to know that you are the focus of their attention. And remember back to when you first got together. Quite often you were totally the focus of each other's attention. And being able to spend that quality time together, uninterrupted, can be really important to show the person how you feel. And that can also get that flame roaring into a great big fire. So think about what are the languages of love that you both speak. And sometimes the language we speak to another is not always the language that we like to hear for ourselves. So as I said, we have quality time, we have acts of service, we have touch, we have words of affirmation. And there's another one which, just for this brief moment, totally eludes me. I will get back to that in a moment because it is something that is really, really important. But having a think about what are the things that you enjoy? What are the things that you enjoy as individuals? And what are the things that you enjoy together? These are really important to look at where you can take this relationship, how you can engage in ways that are sexual, that are pleasurable for both of you. Another thing I often suggest couples to do is to do a traffic light activity. So each of you get a piece of paper and write down all of the things that you really enjoy, the things that you enjoy sexually and the things that you enjoy doing together. These are your greens. Then on the other side of the paper, write the things that you don't enjoy sexually, the things that you really don't like doing together. These are your reds. And then you will also have things that might fit into your amber or your yellows. And these are the things you've been a bit curious about. Maybe you tried it once and wasn't really sure. Maybe it's something you've heard about that you'd like to explore a little bit more. Then you sit down with your partner and you swap lists. Have a look at what you both have on your green list. These are the things you really like. Maybe some of them you haven't done for a while. Have a look at the things that you've got on your yellow list. These are the things that you're a little curious about and you might like to give a go. These are the things that you can actually negotiate together around which are the ones that you'd like to actually try. And also have a look at your red list. Maybe there's some things that you're doing that your partner's not really liking, and that can send a really negative break message and really douse that flame, even if it might have been simmering for a while. So these are just a couple of little activities that you can do that can help you look at ways to increase desire within your relationship. So that's it for me today. I hope you found some things that will be useful, and we'll talk again soon. In the meantime, have fun, have pleasure, and live that erotic journey together.